you know how the evolution of the planet is moving forward, how we were talking about that, and how the goddess is moving everything forward with the masculine stepping beside her, how the sacred union is unfolding.
Yes, I believe we've chatted about that before. I do believe, yes.
Yes, we have. Well, it's a very exciting day today because we have somebody who has been working with that for quite some time, and she's written a few books, and she's our very special guest. It's truly our divine Rosalind McGrath, and she's going to talk to us today about Goddess Heart Rising. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, it is. I wonder if she's going to show up. Is she going to be with us today, you think?
And as I'm witnessing your beautiful interaction, I'm going, yes, that's exactly what the two of you are doing. The goddess is stepping out, and the masculine is there at her side. And it's working hand together. So
cool.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you.
And thank you. Thank you for such a sweet honoring, sweet one. Yes, indeedy. So I'm really excited we both are to have you here with us.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh. And I know, having read the book and everything, how wonderful it is, but I'm wondering, along with talking about the book, that if you would open up and share some of your personal experiences that led you to working with the goddess. How did you first get started?
You know, in my own soul searching process, in my self healing, that's what came forward to support me. You know, is that feminine face of spirituality. Because my soul chose a female form, and how could the creator be, how could one gender be modeled in some way after the creator and the other not? Would that be possible? Of course not. You know, that it's meant to be the wholeness. You know, we're from the wholeness, and we're reflecting certain aspects more so than others. And so the further I got into my spirituality, the more I felt that side of it coming to the fore, to give an overview there. And certainly there's many experiences that I have forgotten, but I know that Kuan Yin and Jesus were very strong for me very early on and continue to be very present in my life. And so as someone with a background in the visual arts, a painter, and I taught art in the schools, who was led to discover a lot about myself, my intuition, my self-healing capacities, and beginning to share that with others. As I eventually, my worlds, seemingly separate worlds, came together, and my artwork started to reflect my spiritual reality.
So would you say that your path was a gentle unfolding, or was there a specific event that pushed things forward with and really encourage you to give so much focus to the goddess?
I would say most often there has been a gentle and a gradual unfolding, although certainly very exciting moments at times. And then also, early on, not so gentle. Which was, not being well and being led to discover everything that I'm involved with now and knew nothing about before in the process of my own self-healing.
Okay, so your
it was kind of a kick in the pants to begin with. And
yeah.
It made me very aware that it was move forward or be sick. So
okay.
It made the choice very easy for me.
So actually, it was by you walking the integrity of your own self-healing that you came to really merge with the goddess.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
In that self
don't you feel, yes, don't you feel that that gives you to a lot of wisdom to share with people in a way that obviously you don't get in books or something that somebody tells you?
And I think that wisdom is there to share because I can reflect aspects of their wisdom back to them because it's the
yeah.
journey to do. Because everybody hits those points where it's clear to them, you move forward or things feel are really lousy. So
Yeah. Wow.
Does everybody go through that? Does everybody go through that, Ross? Or is there different forms of that?
I mean, certainly there's different forms, and of course I don't have a 100% survey. And maybe people may interpret it differently, but I think it would be unlikely to find a life without challenges. And the mm-hmm. challenges are great opportunities and ultimately gifts if we choose to unwrap them. And sometimes the facade we're taking off them is not very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the challenges have the potential to lead us to a greater sense of who we really are.
Hmm. Sorry to cut you off.
Now that's really put. No, you didn't. I was just thinking that is really well put. And at the same time, I had this flash of, could you imagine somebody come in who had no stuff? It was like, what great karma that would be right away.
I mean, I suppose that's what an avatar is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You miss your stuff and you walk the world to purely be there for other
mm-hmm.
people.
But I know you personally and I know your journey, and I also have a strong sense of the magnitude of the gifts that you bring to those that you know and the clients you have. So, you know, I thank you for choosing the life you chose because, you know, there's definite cookies there.
So, I think we're on the earth plane, you know, not only for our personal stuff, but to get to enjoy and appreciate one another, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I know, you know, both of you are part of that path for me, so it's very mutual.
Thank you.
Did you hear that, Tejas?
Yes, I did. And thank you very much, Leslie. And the feeling is mutual.
So,
voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, would you tell us what Goddess Heart Rising is?
Yes.
What is
it is a compilation of paintings, poems, and meditations for activating your divine potential. There are 16 goddess paintings. That's about half of those that I've done so far. Some have been painted on bifold closet doors. Some are on former kitchen cabinet doors. Some are on canvas. And the poems, the messages, the meditations are really my channeling, as are the paintings, of the energy of that goddess or that goddess archetype. It really is immaterial to me how a person sees that mentally. What
mm-hmm.
what's important to me is they're allowing themselves to tap into the energy, to bring forward that part of their larger selves, to be supported in that way, because I have witnessed, you know, in my own experience and others, that we can really get a lot out of these different forms, you know, visual and verbal and so on, to bring that dimension of life more tangibly into this one.
So what you're doing is, I just want to make sure I'm hearing you here. What you're doing is inviting people to experience this through words and visual and all the different avenues that you present. You're inviting them to take that in through their conscious sense, right?
Exactly.
In many different ways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a visual experience of a painting, it's also hearing what the goddess says and all this, right? Yes.
And in addition to that, there's real brief commentary that I add of my personal experience, either of creating the painting or witnessing somebody else's experience with it, that type of thing, that grounds it a little bit in the human aspect. And then the end of each section has some questions for reflection. And
Wonderful. Those
have become a powerful part of it, too, to help you integrate what you're receiving to another level.
I've read the book, obviously, and I did see the integrated part and the questions that you ask are beautiful. They really take you to that place of the inner journey of going within, which I love. And I also, I was wondering, when you were doing the paintings, what was your experience with that? What happened for you with that?
It's interesting because some were subtler than others, and of course I am physically involved creating the painting. But by the time I was painting Isis, Isis is one big energy, and I'm experienced her in a very big way. And for those not familiar, she's known as a goddess of death and rebirth. So really, you know, deep, huge transformation. And it was every moment that I worked on that painting was so exciting. And I would literally see every part of it turn to mud as I'm working on it, you know, just become unclear and come to life again. And back and forth, over and over and over, so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Not how I usually experience creating a painting. Not that there's one experience, but this was so distinctive. And then, you know, here's a little facial details to finish. Okay, I'll just do that and I'll be done. And I do enjoy, you know, I like working on things, and I love the feeling of being done. You know, that sense of satisfaction. Like, yeah, it's all there. It's complete. And if I had any doubt about what was going on, death, rebirth, that little bit that was left had to go through the same process just as many times. And I'm going, okay, I got it. This is you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I have the book in front of me, and Isis, I'm looking at Isis, and she is just magnificent and just gorgeous and powerful. And so clear, so clear that she is here. It's this, you can feel the vibration go through your cells. It's amazing. And this is the one that she kept drawing you back, and she kept saying, I'm not done, right?
Well, I knew. I mean, it was clear to me she wasn't, because, you know, I it's so clear to me when something is done.
You know,
there's the way that color and shape and texture balance in something that I'm creating, and if it's not done, it's not done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is just beautiful. Now, let's say with Mary of the Miracles, what was your journey with her?
That was a much simpler process. The part that required more finessing are those bits of light that surround her. For that to really be present in the soft but clear and balanced way, that was the subtlety that needed to go to another level there. She was pretty straightforward and always a very soothing energy.
Just looking at her painting, you feel that sense of being soothed. She's sending peace. Mm-hmm. That vibration of peace comes through so clear. Now, with each painting in the book, it's very exciting because they each have their own unique flavor. But I want to give our listeners, too, a chance to get a sense of the variety of how they come through. Like Lady Eve, it's very interesting because you hear all these different stories about Eve. And this is the first time I've ever opened a book and seen anything about her in it. So I want to tell you that I think that this is a very important painting because she has been hidden and she has been made to seem like a villain for so long. So it's beautiful to see her in here and be honored. What was your experience with her?
That's interesting because she was originally hidden from me too.
Really?
A finished version of her that I had on the wall, and the title that I had received was Gaia's Daughter. And as I had it on the wall, and I saw, you know, the screen stuff sort of on, it was clear to me that this green thing that was there needed to come fully around her and be more snake-like. And I didn't know why yet.
Yeah, that is so amazing.
I got it, and I got who she was, and that that my consciousness had to be prepared to more fully receive and accept her as who she is.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm really just looking at her. And the look on her face, too, with the smile she has, is like, well, finally. That's the feeling I get, like, finally. You know? And I can literally feel her gratitude, too. So, is there something you wanted to say?
Well, I just think it's really cool that you have a painting of Eve, and you feel that Eve was an actual being that existed here at one time, and her energy, obviously I'm guessing you're saying her energy is around as well, helping this process.
Yeah. She is a taboo buster. She says, own your own mind. Look at things. Think for yourself. Honor yourself and honor the earth.
You know, and I was going to also say, you know, and it's all how you look at things, interpret. You know, you can interpret the Bible in so many different ways, and so many people have. And I think that's why we have so many issues. But I always looked at it, and maybe some people might not think this is the greatest way to do it, but for a long time, I've looked at when Adam and Eve took the knowledge, they were really becoming enlightened. They were remembering who they were. To me, I portrayed it as that. They were breaking away from the chains, if you will, of those that wanted to control them. And so by gaining the knowledge, whoever was in charge at that time wasn't too happy. And this is why I think Adam and Eve were both painted, and she was, of course, you know, the divine feminine, has been pushed down and pushed back. And so she also took on that villainous role, which in the way I see it now is it's just the opposite. Just my two cents.
And I think that many people are reclaiming Eve. And so it's very powerful to hear your experience of that too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's brilliantly put. That really is that perception. I think that brings a clarity to something that has had so much illusion and confusion placed over top of it. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, great one.
You're welcome. Oh, divine one.
I'm very excited to be with both of you. I just want to giggle. And I'm still at the book, Rosalind. I'm over here, and I want you to know, I never told you this, but I have never seen a photo of a divine feminist wind woman either. And this feels like it has an amazing story to it, too. Would you share about that?
Well, Wind Woman is probably newer to me as well. And interestingly, that had been a painting from many years ago that was a kind of a chair. I used to do a lot of artwork that related to chairs, I think because they have this sort of anthropomorphic quality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a cosmic chair, but it was never quite, something didn't quite gel with it for me, but I liked what was there, and I felt moved, you know, to paint over it, and at the time I was, you know, already doing goddess paintings, and it was very interesting to create this painting and, mm-hmm. and literally, of course, watch it change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like the wind. What sensations did you feel while you were painting? Did you feel, you know how they say that breath is an expression of the god, right? And I'm wondering, as that came through you, that painting, and did you experience your breath differently? Did you? What kind of images came? What happened inside of you?
It's a little hard for me to say on that one at this point.
Okay.
I can see the breath in it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, when I'm doing the paintings, I'm also very three-dimensionally here. It's not mm-hmm. the same as like when I'm meditating or even receiving a message.
Okay.
But there's always this process of discovery. People often assume that I see on the psychic level, and I do somewhat, but it's more mm-hmm. that I hear and very primarily that I feel.
Mm-hmm.
When mm-hmm. I really get going on creating visionary art, then I may get this whole beautiful dancing light and color show before I go to sleep at night when I close my eyes.
Nice.
And I feel like I'm getting a reward back. You know, I'm getting this beautiful
yeah.
gift that activated something. But while I'm doing it, I may have a dim sense of an image that I'm moving forward, sometimes a little more concrete, but often I have very little idea about what it will look like when it's done, which is part of
wow.
the excitement of painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. Now, I'm looking at Star Woman, and now I know a few of the goddesses' names, but this name I've never seen before. Can you say it for us?
Sure. The name is Negoshkwe, and a lovely woman named Darlene Basto, when I was speaking to her about Star Woman, she said, oh, well, the native name is Negoshkwe. Now, we don't have have any documentation on that. And she did warn me. She said, you know, somebody could have been having me on. This might mean something really inappropriate. I told her that I was, you know, going to put this in print with a meditation recording and so on. She said, so, you know, I can't tell you for sure.
It
really feels right to me, you know, when I say it. I just love how it sounds.
Yeah.
And I decided, well, it's worth taking that chance. And, you know, and in respect to, you know, the indigenous people that are so, you know, have this connection of thousands of years on this land, that Star Woman share that connection with my awareness about this name.
Okay. Well, as I was looking at the painting and what you've written here, your poem about her, I never questioned that the name wasn't right. The name looked absolutely like I knew that name. I just couldn't say it, you know?
When Darlene first said that name to me, I felt that sense of recognition, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. Absolutely. So, so now that we're talking about the book and everything, I'm just wondering, what was it specifically that led you to write this book?
Well, you know, in one sense, my dad's passing after, you know, a challenging time, wanting very much to get back on my feet and move forward and feel good. You know, these paintings had been in process for quite a few years. I have done some events with them that have just been one of my very, very favorite things to do. Such a high vibration amongst loving all the things that I do. This has really been like the cream. And the meditations and the poems that have come forward, you know, I felt that they needed to come together for a book. So I was walking here in Marquette in the Superior Dome in winter with my husband, and I it was like I had to find the title for this book that I felt I needed to start really deliberately putting together, and I just kept at it till I got to Goddess Heart Rising. Now I was still in a gradual process with this. I'd say almost half of the goddess paintings I've done are in here, and I intend to publish a second volume when it's time.
Good. Yes.
But I, you know, I was just working bit by bit in the particulars that needed to come all together, and I began receiving messages from Mary Magdalene's mother last summer, just about a year ago from now. And in my dialogue with her, it was clear quite quickly into this that the messages she was sharing were meant for far more than just myself and few people I know, that this needed to be a book, and she advised me to publish both books at the same time. So that put me in gear, and I was getting things in order and seeing where, you know, which ones still need a meditation, which ones still need a message to come through, and I was sharing this project and working on it some with my writing group of women. We've been getting together, I think, for at least 12 years now, usually once a month, just writing and sharing what we read, no critique. It's been very powerful. And one of the women, her daughter was there. I really didn't know her. She heard, I think, perhaps I wrote something to go with Persephone, and she seemed to really drink it in and honor it. And she asked me, "Did I have good photographs?" She asked me about the project, and did I have good photographs of these paintings? I said no. That was my sticking point. I didn't know what I was going to do, because those I had asked for someone, you know, in my area who, you know, could do that well for me, it wasn't turning anything up. Well, she's a great photographer. She's a professional, and she gifted this. She said, "I want to do this for you." She said, "I want your book to happen."
Beautiful.
The lovely Christine Granger. So I've had gods, goddesses, friends, neighbors, Mary Magdalene's mother. I mean, well, they say it takes a village. And as I know you're in process with too, you know, the creation of a book really is a birth. And so many supportive energies come together for that to take place.
Beautiful. Beautiful, and it's a beautiful book. It really is. The cover, I love the color. I love the cover, and I love the colors that you used. They're unique. They're different. They're soothing, and they're eye-catching at the same time. It just feels very heartful and resonating. It's just beautiful, beautiful work.
Thank you. It's probably the part I struggled with most in designing.
Really?
Yeah, because I have some layout background, and as a visual artist, knowing, I'm very particular, especially about how words and images come together. And I realize it's because, you know, there's so many energies of these goddesses. I couldn't have one represent them. How would I create? I did see the main colors that those came to me, but I felt there was more I needed to draw together to create this part. And so it took a bit of fussing over. So thank you.
Well, you fussed very well. It just gels, and it calls to you. It really does. So, what do you think people are getting out of all this? Now, I have a feeling, but what's your hope?
Certainly that I'm going to say ultimately that the people who experience this book, that it bring their larger self more present here. It's about activating your divine potential, because we are one, you know, and we in our larger aspect of are part of all creation, all the aspects of God, Goddess, and that you be more fully present here now. I had a booth at a wonderful fair called the People's Fair on the Keweenaw Peninsula last weekend, and the very talented ex-cook who now makes a vast variety of jams that, in fact, what one seems like an Aphrodite jam to me. It had rose petals and rhubarb in it. She bought the Goddess book right away, and she said, she said she opened, you know, to Kuan Yin, or, you know, the next morning, and how much that meant to her. I could feel it in her energy. I have a male friend who he is big into his quakes. You know, his whole body quakes, and you'd think it's so intense. You'd think, oh my God, are you okay? and he said he has quaked more to this book than anything in print that he's ever come into contact with.
Oh, wow. Well, I can understand why. it moves your soul, is what it does. It quickens you. It quickens you. TJ, is there something you want to say?
I am looking at, I went to the website and taking a look at your book and some of the paintings that you have, and I've seen some of your paintings. I don't know if I ever saw the star one at your house. Did you have that one at your house at the time?
I did, but it might not have been in the forefront.
Okay. But I see the one of Eve on there. It's really cool. And you can go right to intuitivelearningcreations.com and take a look at this. Because I really didn't know anything about this book until you started talking about it, Joy. I guess I could have probably done a little homework on it, but I thought, well, okay, I'll just go along for the ride. It's a nice little ride here. I get to sit in the back seat. I'm a big boy.
So it looks, do you really think we'll let you do that?
So it looks really interesting. Now, you know, this show that we record runs on Joyce's site, but it also runs on mine. And, you know, because we carried on both programs. And I guess I always look at it as a perspective. The two of you will talk, and it's like, okay, this is all stuff that you guys are well aware of. I'm aware of this. But the average person listening may not be as much. You know what I'm saying? So I like to ask questions from that viewpoint. And what I was going to ask, because you talk a lot about goddesses, I know you both work with the goddesses. Who are the goddesses? What are they trying to do? And how many are there? I mean, is this an endless number that are here at this time of change? I know we're shifting back to where the divine feminine energy is coming to be more balanced. So any idea, Rosalind, there's probably an infinite number, isn't there?
Every tradition has goddesses, even if they don't use that term. So even in the Catholic, you still have Mary there. You can't, you know, completely ignore a gender, right? So it's in there in some way, you know. And Kuan Yin, some call her like an Eastern version of Mary. Although I feel some difference in energy, but we have certainly overlaps. You know, this is, you know, Source has many faces and levels. And it's not that a level is better than or worse than, but there's sort of levels of expansiveness, you know? And so in this limitless world, you have this, I'm going to just say, accretion of energy that you can describe as a god or a goddess. It's not that we put them before the ultimate source, the creator, our most absolute connection, but so that we can explore facets of this, we have what some might call a stepping down of energy in a way, mm-hmm. that makes it closer to the physical. And because we are on this path of becoming more interdimensionally aware beings, my interpretation is we are more likely to become aware of what is already present and what in our ancient past was may have been more paid more attention to,
mm-hmm.
with these goddess energies, archetypes. As I said, you know, however your mental system works with it is immaterial to me. Do you allow yourself to connect with the gifts of death and rebirth, of compassion, of change, of all of these qualities that are available to us, that are within us, and that we can strengthen with a greater sense of connection.
Well said. And the goddesses themselves that have been around maybe from the beginning, have chosen that role. This is part of their journey as well, to be connected with us.
I absolutely, because any so-called higher energies that I channel, they thank us. They for them, mm-hmm. to come through into this realm, you know, to be with us. We need to be those receiving stations in some way. You know, we are literally working together. And they say it is an incredible thing to be a human being. They honor our humanity.
And we are also in a time when there is a great shift and a great change. So to be in this time period, not slighting any other time period, but I'm glad I wasn't in the, well, I probably was in the Dark Ages, but I'm glad right now I'm here. And this is a great period, isn't it?
It is an incredible time, a truly unique time with so much shift going on. I mean, I'm sure so much more than I am consciously aware of.
And more to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing your question.
Thanks for sharing your answer.
I can't hold this back any longer. Like I said, you know, one of my favorite things is sharing this goddess energies in person, you know, with paintings, with meditations, and more. And of course, I got Goddess Joy here, who is coming to the UP in a week.
Woo-hoo!
Less than a week, definitely less for those who will hear this. And we are doing some wondrous things together, of which is our Aphrodite Answers workshop. Would you like to share about that, Joy?
Well, I'm very excited that we're co-creating this workshop together. And what we're doing is inviting women to come in and have the experience of reflecting inward on their inner Aphrodite and how they can access and commune with themselves in honoring ways and embrace this aspect of the goddess within. And we're going to use things like mirror work and crystal cucumber foot baths and very luscious, very wonderful goddessy food. And we're going to have messages from Aphrodite. And is there anything else in there, honey?
A little chanting, some simple movement.
Yeah, chanting.
I think you said meditation.
Yeah.
I've got a lovely young human goddess who's going to provide some live music to support our process.
Yes, so we're inviting all you goddesses to come. And if you are interested in finding out more info, I believe that you could access either Rosalind or me. And there's an event page up on Facebook, too, that you can click on if you want to come. There's pre-registration is required, and you can look at more of the details. Is there anything else you want to add, honey?
I have a website, goddessheartrising.com, and I will have information on the workshop posted there as well as how you can register.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And while we're talking about that, is there something you want to share on how someone can learn more about how to buy or purchase the Goddess Heart Rising book?
Sure. You can get the most access to my thoughts and excerpts about the book at goddessheartrising.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also a page, the title's book. You can order it through there. You can also order it through Amazon. And you can pick it up at any of our events. Joy and I will be sharing readings and guidance. We have an event titled Messengers of the Heart, which will be on August 23rd. In Rapid River, and we'll be doing Aphrodite Answers on August 26th.
Mm-hmm.
And the God's Heart Rising book and my other book, The Third Mary, are some of the items that will be available for sale. So, yeah, lots of opportunities to check it out.
Isn't there someplace else we're going to be too, like a bookstore or something like that?
I was just trying to think, how much can I say at once? So we'll add this.
Oh, you can say it all.
We have a busy schedule. Okay. And on Thursday, August 28th, Joy will be offering soul readings, and I will be doing mini life purpose drawings, sharing an aspect of your life purpose at Panara Imports in Marquette. And you can call there 906-226-4604 to schedule with us between 6 and 8 p.m. that evening. So we've got a full plate of fun stuff to do, and TJ is just an incredibly central part of our Messengers of the Heart event.
Yes.
On August 23rd, so we're very grateful to him for his part in getting us going on that.
Somebody's got to do it.
And for, for setting it up and everything, and for being a contact for everyone, too. Thank you, TJ.
Well, T just thanks you. He does. I'm speaking to the third person, though. T just thanks both of you. Thank you.
So, Rosalind, I was wondering if you would like to share something from the book, Goddess Heart Rising, or if you have a little channeling you might want to do with us, something. I know it's impromptu, but I just thought I'd check and see if you'd like to do that.
I would love to. I opened to a page while you were asking this question.
Good.
Right.
Your telepathy is exquisite.
Well, I can't. I mean, I heard your words. So I'm not going to claim that on this particular one. But I opened right to Lakshmi. Lakshmi is known as the goddess of prosperity.
Good.
And in on many levels and in many ways. And this is Lakshmi's message. My peace is rooted in knowing I am one with all creation, all that ever is. And I am grateful for this simplicity, which is my life. And so Lakshmi would like all of us to know, when you are feeling like there's not enough, that you're not getting something vital to you that you need, you need to relax. You need to take the full breath in and out and let me support you. She says, you expect sometimes, it's like you pinch your channel and then ask for a freighter to come through it. Just relax, take the blinders off, and don't try to squinch into a time, like demanding that it fit in this time in this way. Just, my abundance is so much more than this. There is so much in the becoming process that you don't want to miss. So she says, just imagine, because it's true, that I'm whispering in your ear. And that which you hold so dear, I know, is here for you now. Just let yourself breathe. Come into awareness. Let the unfolding occur. Know this is already a done deal. She says, I am with you. I love all of who you are. And you can enjoy the transition process of what is coming in and what is going out. Be firm. Be clear. hold your core, feel the center. She says, sit in the center as I do and know that everything is in order. Everything is here for you. And I love you.
Thank you, Lakshmi, and thank you, Rosalind, and TJ.
You're welcome.
What a lovely show.
Thank you guys so much, and you're part of my prosperity. And I want to thank everyone who will be listening to this, because we're not limited by time and space. I know that all of your energy has been part of our creating this together too.
Beautifully put. Absolutely. And I want to thank our listeners as well. And I'm so looking forward to coming to Michigan and in a couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll have another show, right, TJ?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sounds good. Yeah.
Okay. Many blessings to everyone. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.